KFMB.
San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB, presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
Good evening, everybody. I am Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from the studios of KFMB in beautiful Kearny Mesa. 50,000 watts of power on Sunday nights and weekends. We reach not just San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, Riverside County, up to Seattle on a good night, and out to the desert. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour, the main co-host, who is a marathon runner and enthusiast, a philanthropist, a CPA extraordinaire, a family office advisor to several high net worth families, and an author and a speaker. And he also does radio, which I also mentioned. Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening.
Hello, Joe. Did you get tired watching the women's final at U.S. Open? It was tiring just watching it.
Well, I was extra tired because I watched the Italian women win the women's doubles, which was pretty exciting. They're only 5'4", those two gals, and they're incredible. And then they beat the team, the Czech team, I believe. And then on to Serena today. What'd you think of that? I mean, she was flat on her back, looked like she wasn't going to win, and somehow found a way to break through. What'd you think?
She was a couple points away from not being the champ, but 7-5 in the third. That was a long match. Wow. It was incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that was her 15th Grand Slam, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. She's obviously one of the best women to ever play the game, wouldn't you say?
Most Grand Slams ever.
Really?
24? Who do you think? Margaret Court.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Serena's up to 15.
Well, Margaret Court is actually, I think, 62 counting doubles, mixed doubles, and everything else. But
yeah, I'm just saying singles, 24 compared to Serena's 15 singles. Serena, of course, has a ton of doubles championships.
Huh.
She and Venus won their last doubles Grand Slam at Wimbledon.
So it's Margaret Court with 24, and who's next?
I don't remember who's next.
Okay. Well, it's probably Billie Jean King or Steffi.
No, Billie Jean's up there. It might be Steffi Graf at 17.
Or Martina, probably.
Huh? Or could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both up there.
Anyway, congrats to them. And then I know you wanted to talk a little bit about Art San Diego, right?
We went to Art San Diego 2012, Thursday night. We, of course, had Ann Berchtold, the executive director, on our show last Sunday.
And Michael Caruanta.
And Michael Caruanta from our sponsor, UBS. And, of course, UBS was the major sponsor of Art San Diego 2012. Of course, it moved over to the Activity Center at Balboa Park this year from the Hilton Hotel the last couple of years, which I think was a really neat move because now this year they had 30-foot ceilings and they no longer had plaid carpeting.
Right.
Which I think is really good for an art show. And we were there Thursday evening. It was really well attended. Some great pieces of work out.
A little bit toasty in there, but thank God UBS had that wonderful patio going with the open bar, which I took advantage of. I appreciated the Stone. Hey, we had Stone beer there, Stone IPA, and we had Greg Cook was also our guest last week, so they were handing out free beer and Heineken, but hey, should we be mentioning these names? I don't even know these brand names.
Only Stone.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Greg was a guest last week, too, but not the others, no.
Anyway, it really was packed, and a lot of notables walking through there. I saw Tom Blair and a lot of people, they're pretty well-known.
Yeah, parking was good. It was easy to get in, easy to get out.
It's right across the street from the World Beat Center, if you know where that is, and just north of the old Balboa Hospital there, on that east side of Park Boulevard there. It was really, really nice.
I thought Ann Berchtold and her crew pulled off a great job, a great result, and I hope everybody else was pleased, but at least on Thursday night, the thing was wonderful, and congratulations to them.
Yeah, many thanks for inviting us. We certainly enjoyed it.
It was fun.
Yeah. But shall we get into tonight's show now, or...
Why not?
Okay.
We have a guest tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Whose name is?
Well, she's an expert in the...
Okay, what does she do before we give her name?
The art and science of franchising.
Her name is Tammy Diaz.
I always like to give the big build-up, Richard, but okay. You like to cut right to the chase, so I understand. But
Tammy, welcome.
Thank you for having me on your show, Richard.
Should be fun.
It should be. And you know what? In my introduction, I failed to mention you are a core member of Star San Diego, which is kind of the way Tammy found her way to the show, which is Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable. So anyway, welcome, Tammy.
I feel welcome already. Thanks, guys.
So where we like to, when we interview guests, we like to kind of find out where they originated from and a little bit about their education and background before we get into their expertise. So
begin at the beginning.
Yes.
The beginning. We go back. We go way back. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. Yes, I'm afraid to say I am a Valley girl.
Totally, for sure.
I grew up in an entrepreneur family. My father was a commercial real estate developer. He used to build things from the ground up, from, bank buildings to large warehouses near the LA International Airport. Hmm. So having grown up around an entrepreneur, I had that bug in me. Mm-hmm. So when I spread my wings and moved out to go to college down in San Diego, beautiful San Diego, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Now where'd you go here?
I get to name names?
Yeah,
you do.
I'm a proud Aztec.
Ah.
I went to San Diego State.
Well, Richard is also a...
University of San Diego.
USD 80, right, and you're an Aztec. Okay, let's...
But I root for the Aztec men's basketball team.
Why wouldn't you? Come on.
Because they actually know what they're doing out there.
They got a great coach there and a great mentor.
Getting it together.
Kind of reminds me of Johnny Wooden. I grew up in the Johnny Wooden days.
So what was your major at San Diego State?
Business management. Yes.
Okay. Did you find it tough for women at that stage of the game? Were there many women in the program as opposed to...
Joe, don't ask her what year she was there, though.
Well, I'm not.
Good.
Smart man.
I did.
Well, I have to remind Joe. We had a woman guest on a few months ago, Tammy, where Joe said, so how old are you?
I did, Richard. That's untrue. That is false. Perjury.
Okay, no, that's true. It's not. He actually said, what year were you born in? But, I mean, can do math in their head.
Richard,
I mean, come on, Joe.
Richard, this is false information.
But get back to Joe's question.
You should be running for office. I'm being here. And then work your way back into the radio.
Exactly.
Anyway, we won't go there. But I was wondering how many women were in the program at the time you were in.
There were a few women in there, not as many. Oh, and there was quite a few older folks in the program as well.
Really? That's good.
Yes.
That's good. So then what, did you go directly into the franchise field?
No.
Okay.
When I graduated, there weren't a whole lot of jobs. So I got my first retail job, retail sales, and, kind of got kicked around in different industries along the way. Got into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Learned about real estate.
This is all in San Diego?
This is all in San Diego.
Okay.
Once I moved down here, I never went back to L.A.
You're not the only one. There's a lot of people in the same boat.
What spawned your interest in franchises?
Well, moving forward, I started my first business in the automotive field. Again, another non-woman-dominated industry.
Was it parts and repairs or what?
It was automotive towing.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You need biceps for that.
I didn't do the work now.
Okay.
And turned that into auto repair and then bought an existing body shop. So I had three automotive businesses and I bought the commercial building. So I became a landlord too.
Wow.
Yeah.
What part of San Diego was that?
North County.
North County. Okay.
Yes.
What was the name of the business?
Intrastate Towing.
Okay.
Yes. And
did you enjoy
AAA,
it?
I was a AAA tower.
Oh, okay, I was going to ask, were you a AAA tower? So.
Yeah.
So you stayed pretty busy.
Very busy. You run hundreds, thousands of calls for AAA.
I hope you weren't one of those that towed them out of the parking lot for not paying their parking thing. Or if maybe that happened once in a while?
Once in a while that happens.
Okay, all right. We won't go there.
So why did you not stay in that business? Or what caused you to make a... Did you sell that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, running three businesses got to be... I didn't have much time left in my day, and I did have a child. So I became a mom and decided to segue out of the businesses and sell each of them, which was a good decision because shortly after that, the market dropped.
Mm. So this would be 2007, five, 6 years ago, kind of?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
That would be good timing.
Right.
That's for sure.
And then how'd you get into the franchise field?
Well, having sold all the businesses, I went through the whole process of what I do with candidates now. I was at a transition. I was trying to find something that I can do, and I had certain criteria, having run those businesses for over a decade, certain things I wanted and I did not want. And I ended up coming across the franchise consulting realm. Mm-hmm. And as I did more research, it's like, well, gee, I know how to run a business. I know about marketing, I know about real estate, I know about the financial side. This seemed like a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
All I had to learn was about franchising.
Mm-hmm.
So
So some of my friends listen to the show, and they're really slow. So for their benefit, can you explain what franchising is, short and sweet?
Franchising is basically a registered trademark brand that is looking to take a company and expand it nationwide with uniform and whatever their product or service is, uniform in their marketing, uniform in what they wear, uniform in their customer service, so they can go into a market and dominate it.
Okay, so examples of franchises everybody would have heard of would be what? Give us some example. Even though I know the answer, but...
McDonald's.
Okay.
Amco Transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Midas. Molly Maids. Mary Maids. 7-Eleven.
Subway. Okay. So how many different industries do you think are represented these days by franchises?
Well, the International Franchise Association quotes there's over 75 different industries.
Okay. That seems low to me.
Well.
But.
Let's see here. Well, your website is yourfranchiseconnection.com, and there's a lot of good data and information right there.
Is that number of 75 growing?
I couldn't answer that.
Okay.
Probably. Now we're talking industries. We're not talking brands.
Yeah, industries. I know there's many, 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 many more brands than that.
Yeah, right. There's...
I'm just thinking, for example, the growth of certain sectors such as...
Green.
Home care.
Yes, home care.
Okay, the green sector.
The pet sector.
Mm.
The in-home senior care services sector is one of the top five industries in franchising.
Hmm. Huh. How many of those would just be in San Diego County just for the heck? How many franchised in-home?
Wow. If you did a Google search, you'd probably come across over
a dozen.
100.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. Didn't know that.
But that's a booming industry, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
And of course, green services are a booming industry as well.
I see these pet washes popping up all over the place. I don't know if those are franchised or not, but that seems to be another business. So if someone wants to... either purchase a franchise, they come to you for consultation, and you help them find the right franchise for him or her.
Can we back up, Joe?
Sure.
My question, Tom, is who comes to you who has an interest in owning franchises or being a master franchisor? Who do you work with? I mean, by who? I guess I mean, what are their backgrounds or histories or why are they looking to move maybe from what they're doing into the franchise model?
A lot of them are actual transitioning C-level executives.
So by C-level, you mean CEOs, CFOs?
Some kind of middle management or higher management. They're used to responsibilities of people. They usually have a lot of travel. They make a good amount of money, and they've been downsized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying for many people it's an alternative to what they thought the career path that they would have would be, which is going with a company where they rise through the ranks, reach the C-level, have security, or maybe on occasion move to another company.
Well,
so it's sort of about becoming your own or holding your own destiny in your own hands?
Well, speaking of which, we do have a break to take right now, though, Richard. So let's hold that thought. We'll come right back.
I will hold that thought, Joe, with both hands.
Right, right after. We'll be back. All right, we are back with It's Your Money and Your Life. Thanks for correcting the intro there, Justin. Sounding good. And we're back with Richard Musio and our terrific guest, Tammy Diaz, an expert and consultant in the field of franchising. So welcome back.
It's good to be back, Joe. And when we went to break, I was sort of asking Tammy about some trends in franchising. We had mentioned that about 75 industries might be represented, but I guess my big picture question, Tammy, is overall, is the franchise business growing?
It is growing.
And that's probably because traditional C-level jobs are, well, given the budget issues and the economy, a lot of people being cut, a lot of people getting pay decreases, and so I think maybe a lot of people wish to become, as I said, the controllers of their own destiny. Because the days of working for a company for 40 or 45 or 50 years and then retiring and getting a gold watch seem to be over, right?
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
So here in San Diego, by industry type, what are some of the most popular franchises by industry type? Or most prolific franchises?
Gyms, fitness.
Okay, so fitness and gyms.
food.
Yeah, every corner there's somebody, a food franchise, but a lot of them are actually really good.
And we talked about the whole in-home services and
so because of the aging of the population and the fact that people want to stay in their homes longer, that you're saying that's becoming popular as well?
Yes, things to do with the home, whether it be service or a product to improve the home or repair the home.
And then we mentioned pets a little bit too at the break, right? A lot going on in that, Lynn?
Yes, the good old dog training and the owner training goes along with that.
Yeah, goes along with that.
Don't let them ride on top of the car, right?
Hey, there's no point in having pets and children unless you spoil them. But be that as it may, so let's say I'm a C-level executive and I decide I don't want to stay in the corporate grind. I come to you and I say I want to find a franchise that fits what I want. What kind of research your suitability requirements in terms of helping somebody find what's best for them? How do you work?
You do some personality testing or anything like that?
I do. We do a personality test to figure out if they're more sales-orientated person, if they prefer doing the work, you know, they're more hands-on, or they prefer managing people. Mm-hmm. We talk about what their strong skill sets are, and the direct opposite. What aren't they strong in? Mm-hmm. What areas do they have passions for? Because I'm a strong believer, if you follow your passion in a business, you're going to have the stick-to-itiveness to be successful. And then we tap into what kind of lifestyle they want to maintain, what kind of income level, how much they've got money coming in, and what they're hoping to come out for. What's their goal for the business? They just want to be doing it for the next 10 years, or are they hoping to pass it on to their children? They hoping to become more passive into the business?
Mm-hmm.
These are all important criteria that help me figure out what industries and what business models are good fits for them, as well as which ones are not good for them. And as we, you know, kind of funnel down into what are absolutes must have and what are, you know, potential maybes, I can just take this big funnel of hundreds of franchises and narrow it down to just a select few that uniquely fit them based on what they've said and what they're trying to accomplish. And then we go through the process to determine that, A, they're a good fit for that business model. B, they like the business model. They see themselves doing it and enjoying it, and that it's going to meet their financial requirements. And I go through the whole diligence with them, the due diligence, so that they actually go and they're prepared to meet the franchisor and see if that's the kind of culture of that particular business that they want to get involved with.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some of the items on your due diligence checklist in terms of the key or the four or five most critical due diligence things that you tend to focus on?
Make sure that they've got a strong marketing. They've got strong technology behind them. They're putting just as much effort into their franchisees being successful. Some of the very, very strong ones have regional mentor groups where all the franchisees get together and they share ideas, things they've tried and have been successful or things that haven't been successful. It's all about being in a group where everybody is working to be better versus, you know, when you're in a mom and pop, it's very competitive. They don't want to, you know, your competitor doesn't want to share with you what's working for them. Mm-hmm. In a franchise, it's the direct opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because people have their own territories, right?
Correct.
In a franchise. So by definition, it's collaboration as opposed to competition.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But when they get together for, you know, conventions or conferences, they definitely do a lot of sharing of ideas. Matter of fact, McDonald's, I think one of the franchisees in franchisees, I think on the East Coast, came up with the idea for the Big Mac. He's the one that came, and then he brought that to headquarters, whatever, and then it became a sensation. But
same thing for the Egg McMuffin.
Really?
Okay.
Well, that's an important thing. They sell a lot, Richard.
Well, hey, they've done well, Joe. There's no question.
Now, I noted on your website, it says in 2000, the median gross annual income before taxes of franchisees was in the $75,000 to $124,000 range, with over a third of them earning over $150,000 a year. So, obviously, there's some success to be. Now, that was 2000. Is that still hold pretty true for today, or things changed?
They haven't published new
data?
Earnings claims on that.
Okay.
Do you think the economic downturn of about 4 years ago affected franchises the same as it affected non-franchise businesses?
It definitely affected it, but it's still got a positive uptick. Because keep in mind, in a franchising, you're buying into a system that's already pre-written, and you just have to follow the system. And when you have an issue in your business, whether it's hiring or you just want to get bigger, you've got somebody to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a corporate franchisor who's going to help you, because they make money off of you. So a good franchisor is going to want you to be as successful as you can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed something interesting in the fast food industry 4 years ago when we had the recession. Fast food did very, very well because people couldn't afford to go out and spend tons of money at fancy restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was sort of contrarian to what the economy was doing, at least the fast food franchises that one of my companies does accounting for.
Is that the same time they came out with the dollar menu?
About the same time, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they were looking for ways to attract people in at very low cost. People didn't have as much money to spend. And so fast food all of a sudden had an uptick while the economy was going straight downhill.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a function of affordability of the consumer, or non-affordability of the consumer. Obviously, high-end restaurants tended to do very poorly when the economy turned down a few years ago.
Yeah, the luxury dining or the fine dining.
The fine dining was hit hard.
Oh, darn. I wanted to get into that more, but we have to take a break. So we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after these announcements. All right. We are back with It's Your Money and Your Life. And you ought to check out the website of our guest, Tammy Diaz. Her website is, where is it there? It's
YourFranchiseConnection.com. www.YourFranchiseConnection.com. Phone number 760-842-6908.
Right. And then they also should check out our website, Richard, or primarily yours, it's iymoney.com. And I think you want to thank some sponsors, right?
It's Your Money and Your Life wishes to thank. We've already thanked UBS, the major sponsor of Art San Diego 2012. Also, we want to thank, oh, and I should mention UBS's guys' names, like Michael Coranto and Drew Freitas, Business Valuations Limited and Carl Sheeler, Rich Gaines and Family Legacy Legal, our favorite CPAs on the planet, Paul Polito and Don Epic with Polito Epic CPAs, Regents Bank and Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton, Jason Kruger and Signature Analytics, and our newest sponsor, who is going to be on in 2 weeks, which is the 23rd of September. That would be Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives. They win the prize for having the longest sponsor name by one letter. So thank you, everybody. We couldn't do it without you.
Much appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to Tammy. So entry level for franchises. If I have $50,000, Tammy, can I find a franchise that might fit me, even though I have no skills whatsoever, speaking personally, but I do have $50,000?
Well, if you work through me, I could probably find you one.
But my point is $50,000 like the minimum entry level, do you think, in the franchise world, or can you even do something for less?
$50,000 liquid, yes.
Okay.
If you want to go to a business opportunity, we could get down to $20,000.
Okay.
But you need to be a super sales guy.
Understood. But most franchises are in what range to get in? If you gave us, say, a range of between 25 and like 75 to 100, 50 to 100, 50 to 150?
I'd say 75 to 100.
Okay.
Interesting.
So fairly affordable.
Absolutely.
That is to say you don't need $500,000. Now, I guess in certain industries, if you need to have tons of bricks and mortar and infrastructure, it's more. I know some fast food franchises, because of the complexity of the back room or the kitchen, it can be a lot more. So let's say it's 75 to 100. Do these tend to be more service-oriented businesses as opposed to capital-intensive businesses?
Absolutely.
Some examples, please?
It could be water restoration.
Okay. That's like if I have a flood in my house?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Could be anything to do with some kind of repair to your home. Like a resurfacing of the bathtub, for instance.
Okay.
Could be lawn care. Could be
garage door
cleaning.
Garage door fixing, is that one?
It could be.
Okay. My garage door malfunctions all the time. I was thinking that would be a great franchise because...
How about eradicating pests? Is that a franchise service or is that mostly just small business?
Mostly small business.
Yeah. Because I know there's a big market in town here for... get termite eradication and things like that, but
so you think the sweet spot about a 75 to 100 in terms of where most franchises, and you talked a bit about C-level executives. How about people who retire early from other jobs like teaching or the police force or the military? They might come they might go into retirement say at the age of 50. It's a long time to live on a pension. Do you see people who are doing that going into franchising?
Yes, they're great candidates for franchises.
Why is that?
Because they've gone through some skill sets already, and they now understand that they don't want to work for the man, they want to be the man, mm-hmm. and they can follow a system. They've already got some training below them, And they want to now have the flexibility of their time and the freedom to learn a business. And franchising, you know, to me, it's like taking a number of years off your learning curve when you get into a franchise versus starting your own business. So if you are 50 and you retired from, let's just say, the military, franchises love ex-military folks because they understand systems.
I'll tell you another thing. They are always on time. Yeah, always. Ever make an appointment with anybody in the military, veterans? I mean, they are always on time.
Oh, Joe, my best volunteers at the Oceanside Turkey Trot are, of course, Marines. Guys and gals off of Camp Pendleton, the Marine base. And, yeah, you know, they're supposed to be there at 6 in the morning, and they're there at about 5:30.
Very responsible.
Neat stuff. Anyway, we very much appreciate it and for all the service that they
The industry the also country. Offers special incentives for the transitioning military as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine those are very attractive candidates. I also know, and I know we don't want to go into technical things because it's not good to be really technical on the radio, but there are ways for people to access their 401k funds or rollovers, right, to shall we say, have a access to capital to start up a franchise, correct?
Correct. It's a great way to take the money that you've gotten from a business. You've left them. You have this 401k money. You can roll it over to start your new business and start that business debt-free.
And you're not taxed on the rollover, right?
Correct.
Because it's going into a qualified franchise.
Correct. You don't touch the money.
Right. You don't touch the money. And again, if you need more information on that, talk to your financial advisor. We don't want to get into technical income tax and rollover planning, but it is an option. And many, many people do have their greatest source of liquidity inside of their 401k plan. So great opportunity for
capital. Instead
of
getting that 0.0001% on that 401k, they can start building their business and get quite a few digits of return.
Yeah, exactly.
How about these master franchises versus individual? Did we want to discuss that a little bit, Richard?
Yeah, Tammy, can you just explain the difference between being a master franchisor and being a franchisee?
Sure. An individual franchise owner generally owns a single location.
So that'd be a franchisee?
Correct.
Okay.
But somebody who wants to own a larger piece of the picture, they can buy a regional area. For instance, let's just say the whole San Diego County. And they actually are the eyes and the feet in the area of San Diego for the franchisor. So they can help place individual franchisees in that area. So they work with the business owner instead of the consumer. And they get paid from the franchisor. They actually split in the franchise fee and the royalty fee as a master territory owner.
Now, does the master franchisor also tend to own one or two of their own franchises so they can say they have on the ground, in the trenches experience with the thing that they're helping other people own, or is that not common?
It's very common. Sometimes it's part of the agreement that they need to open their own beta site.
Okay. And how do you get paid? Do the people that hire you to find them the best fit pay you directly, or do you then also share in fees when franchises get acquired?
I'm actually compensated by the franchisor. They pay me to find qualified people to bring to their doorstep. So it becomes a win-win situation for the buyer. There's no reason for them to go out and try to find a franchise on their own when they can use an expert who's going to bring them qualified franchises and help them through the whole due diligence, plus offer referrals for legal review and financing options.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Which is another option that franchising has. There's money out there that it's easier to get to as a franchisee than going out and starting your own business from scratch.
So you're basically pre-qualifying people before you even get them to the franchisor, which is, they love that, right?
Absolutely.
So that's really no different than working with buyers of real estate where you represent the buyer.
You got it.
Find the best fit for the buyer, and fees just get shared based on agreement. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you used, for a master franchisor, you used an example of a territory being, say, San Diego County. Is that a typical territory for a master franchisor, something as large as San Diego County, or can it be a whole state? I mean, what's a typical size of a master franchisor location or region?
It could be a half a million. It could be a million. It's usually based on head counts, counts.
Population counts, Okay, interesting.
So in the states that are smaller, like I help an individual get into a urgent care franchise, and he ended up buying two states as a master licensee because of the population was so low for the two states.
I've used that franchise. I had a headache once in Monterey, and I went to urgent care. I won't explain the circumstances behind that.
Take two franchises and call me in the morning.
Exactly. So, So overall, you think the business is going to continue to grow just because of the trends in the economy?
I do.
Okay.
I do. It's so much easier to become a business owner in a franchise.
Now, let's say I don't want to name the name, but there's a restaurant that started in San Diego, and they have about five locations now. I don't know if they're franchising, but if you see a hot industry or a hot, you know, five locations, would you be tempted to, is that your expertise to talk to them about maybe franchising, or is that not in your bailiwick?
No, I usually refer them out to companies that I respect that do that, help them with their franchise development if they want to do that.
Okay.
So, but do you think that's a good exit strategy or growth strategy for somebody who, say, has been successful on their own of 5 or 6 or 10 locations?
Well, running a franchise organization is a lot different than running an individual unit of a franchise.
How so?
Well, because now they're dealing with tons of people that are bombarding them off the internet about their franchise, and they've got to be able to qualify them and put them through systems, and it's very labor intensive. It's nothing like running an individual business.
So you're saying one of the keys for creating a franchise that you can put out into the public is you've got to be extremely good with your systems development on marketing, technology, accounting,
yes,
whatever process happens to be part of the franchise.
Yeah. In essence, they want to make it so the business is so systemized that you can pull anybody off the street and teach them how to be a franchisee in that system.
Yeah, whereas a lot of people who've been successful on their own, maybe haven't necessarily done well with systems or process. They just happen to be really good at what it is they do, or very networked, and so they get business. But process and systems maybe are lacking, at least as it relates to their ability to, shall we say, transmit their intellectual capital. So, yeah, I've met people like that. They do great, but they can't really explain why.
And what are the main positive reasons why someone might want to buy a franchise? They get plenty of training, right?
Correct.
Typically, and it's important.
So it's to training. I mean, if you buy a franchise, do most franchisors then have like a franchise school where people go for the first week or two, or go back on an ongoing basis to get new education?
Yeah. You know, it's going to depend on the franchise, but usually you might spend a week at the corporate office, then they might come into your territory where you open your store and spend a week with you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them actually have business coaches that will work with you for a full year. But you're always able to get a hold of the franchisor and get your questions answered.
I know McDonald's has Hamburger University.
There you go.
Hamburger U.
I know a few people have been through there. So it's, that was one of the first things I think Ray Kroc started. Hey, Ray Kroc, moved to San Diego, saved the Padres. So I don't mind giving them a little plug, although I'm not much of a fast food person myself. But oh, for gosh sakes, I think I hear music, Richard. We have to take a little break. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life in a few moments.
KFMB.
All right, we are back for our last segment. It's flying along here, back with Richard Musio and Tammy Diaz. Welcome.
Hey, Joe, it's good to be back.
Thank you.
So we were asking Tammy on the break, what kind of industries are really, really hot right now in franchising? Tammy, give us 3 or 4.
I would say the senior in-home care services are doing very, very well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned the water restoration, which is if there's a problem with mold or fire damage or anything like that.
Right, because, when we have damages in our home from water, we don't pay the bill. The insurance company does, and it's automatic. The company comes out and fix it. So it's a great business model.
Plus, it's a mess, and who wants to be there? Let somebody else pay and handle that mess. And you said something about cost savings, consulting services.
So. Yeah, consulting services that help business owners save costs in different areas of their business. They go in and do an evaluation.
Hmm.
So, for example, cost segregation could be one of those, which we'll talk about in 2 weeks. But also, for example, somebody will go in and thoroughly study phone bills, utility bills, insurance bills,
savings.
Like workers' comp.
And health bills. I mean, seniors need a lot of organizing with all these bills, but health can be a nightmare, obviously, with all the... Sometimes you get multiple invoices, right, Richard, sometimes... Can be a headache.
So. It can be a headache just trying to sort through the paperwork. So Tammy, on every corner I see yogurt and pizza shops and fitness places. Are those really, really good franchises right now, or are those maybe a little bit overbuilt, at least in Southern California?
Well, in my personal opinion, I think it's a little overbuilt.
Okay. Well, you're here to give your personal opinion. Who else's would you give?
You're the expert. Okay, no pizza, no yogurt.
How many times
people.
Have you seen a coffee shop you know, like a franchise coffee shop show up and it's like, oh, a year and a half later, they're gone.
Yeah, I know. A year and a half later, they're gone. And
we know the ones that stick around like Lestat's, but they're, see, that's a small business with two locations and they've developed quite a loyal following. So, but,
Tammy, I know you do some public speaking and consulting and you're a big fan. And actually, I think you might do some volunteering for one of our recent guests, which is Junior Achievement. Is that right?
That is true.
Why do you like Junior Achievement? I'm just curious.
I love Junior Achievement. I think it's a great way to teach kids that there are positive upswings to stay in school. Stay in school and give yourself, empower yourself to have options. So one day you can get a better job or become an entrepreneur.
And are you seeing younger people with greater interest in franchising, say people who are, say, 30-something who've been out in the workforce for 5 or 6 years and maybe have some disenchantment?
Yes.
What's the average age maybe of one of your clients? I mean, do you know those stats?
Well...
Or if you had to guess?
If I had to guess, I'd probably say about 48, though.
So just under 50?
Yes.
And is it primarily men or is it pretty equally dispersed among men and women?
Mostly men. Because I do work nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and, you know, in certain parts of the country... The male is the dominant income, and the woman is taking care of the kids.
Hmm. So you've worked with how many franchisors, would you say, nationwide? I mean, individual.
Over 300.
Wow.
And I do represent business opportunities as well.
Wow.
Oh, so if somebody says, I just want to buy a business, like this manufacturing company in Vista, that's for sale, you can represent them as well?
No, I'm not a business broker.
Okay, got
it. But there's business opportunities that aren't a franchise. They look like a franchise, but they're not really.
Wow.
So you have a little more flexibility. You can name your company, you know, Richard's Company, XYZ, and Richard goes out and perhaps lays the surfacing in the garage, you know, that nice surface. It's a licensing agreement.
A licensing agreement as opposed to a franchise.
Right.
Huh.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that becoming more popular? Because I haven't seen many... businesses that are licensing agreements, although I heard that it existed.
Yeah, there's always some new ones coming out.
But that industry's not as big as franchising.
Oh,
right?
No, it's not as big.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I just sort of heard about it. I thought, well, I haven't seen much of that. So what's the best advice you can give to somebody who thinks they want to go into franchising?
Talk to an expert. Talk to somebody who's been self-employed. Talk to somebody who knows... the different industries that can help you kind of think about the things that you don't know what to think about. You know, there's that phrase, you don't know what to ask because you haven't done it.
Or you don't know what you don't know.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a lot of great information on your website, which again is yourfranchiseconnection.com. And if you scroll down on the left side, there's all kinds of great articles. If this is something you think you might want to do, this is a good place to start. So... where are you located, Tammy? Where's your office? What part of San Diego are you
in? I'm in North County.
North County. Okay. So do you go, your initial meetings, do they come to see you? Do you go to see them or how does that?
We can do most of our work over the phone.
Okay.
I'm happy to meet with people one-on-one as
great.
Well.
Great, great, great. Excellent.
And are you networked with other people who serve complementary ways in the franchise business? Let's say franchise attorneys, CPAs who know the franchise
Absolutely.
Business?
Absolutely. That's my prize Rolodex right there.
Okay. So you can do more than just help find the right fit for somebody. You could also introduce them, say, to some of the other professionals that they need as part of their team.
Yeah. Sometimes I meet current business owners that are like, I need a little more capital because I want to do whatever. Buy a new piece of equipment. I say, hey, you looking for secured or unsecured funding? I got referrals for both.
Okay.
That's terrific. That's good.
And most people who buy franchises, are they coming in 100% with their own capital, or do you see people, including their 401k, or do you see them borrowing a percentage, typically?
I've been fortunate. Most of the folks have a 401k. They've been using that.
So that's probably the most popular funding technique right now?
Yes.
Wow. Well, we've got to wrap it right there. But Tammy, thank you very much for being our guest tonight. It was very informative. And make sure you get on her website, yourfranchiseconnection.com.
Joe, we need iymoney.com in 52 cities.
That's right.
That's my goal.
We're working on it.
One a week we're going to do with
Check
Tammy.
Out our website as well. Anyway, thank you very
thank
much.
You guys.
We've got some great guests coming up. We've got Alan Ball coming up. He's a retired Qualcomm exec. Isabel Cruz, Scott Peters, Mike Ryan from UBS. So stick around for them in the coming weeks. And thank you to Justin Hart, our board operator. Thank you to Craig Blanke, our con executive, and our programming genius here at KFMB, Dave Sniff. You have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday night. Take care.